The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
I pray you continue to have those conversations with the people that you've met or chatted to already, and hope you got that sorted, what you want to ask God. Okay? 1st of February, Sunday the 1st of February, I was sitting down where I normally sit here. We had a guest speaker, Daniel Indrajaya, was preaching. And when he told us what he was preaching on, I thought, oh, he's preaching from Matthew 7 to 11. I'm thinking, we're doing a series on the Sermon on the Mount. That's my sermon. And I thought, this could be interesting. He preached a great sermon. So if what I share this morning doesn't tickle your fancy, have a listen to his online, all right? February 1, Daniel Indrajaya from our online series. If what I share this morning you think, yeah, very helpful, have a listen online to his anyway, all right? It's very good, and we go in some different directions. But it's interesting, after Daniel spoke, a few people said to me, or just in conversation, they said, that's the best sermon on prayer I've ever heard in my life. I thought, that puts the pressure on a bit, doesn't it? And in my cynical sort of nature, I thought to myself, did it make any difference to how you pray? Best sermon on prayer I've ever heard. Did it actually change the way I pray? Did anything happen out of it? Did it encourage you to keep praying? Well, that's great if it did. Did it cause you to pray in different ways? Did it cause you to be more desperate in your prayer? I didn't ask them those questions, but they're the thoughts that went through my mind. Because it's very easy to hear a talk or read a book or read or watch a movie and say, that was fantastic. But what impact does it have on us? And so I pray today that as I share, that this will have some impact. So let's pray. Father, you know where we're all up to. You know our fears, you know our concerns, you know our joys. You know where we're up to in our relationship with you. You know how much we trust you and how much we don't. You know the ways we rebel and the ways we have trusted you and stepped forward in faith. You know everything about us. And so today, Father, I pray that as I share a little bit more out of this Matthew 7 chapter, that you would take us on in our journey of faith. That you would help us to trust you more. That you will give us a fresh picture of who you are. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I was a young single man, I was pondering marriage, as you do. I was thinking, who will I marry? There's many options. Not. So I thought, intelligence is important. So I thought, who's the most intelligent woman around here that is eligible? So I picked out one, went across and engaged and then said, would you marry me? No. Okay. So I had to rethink. Okay, intelligence, rich, money, wealth. Who's the wealthiest woman that's negotiable? So I picked out one, went across to her and said, look, would you marry me? No. Okay. Okay, what other options were there? Best looking, good looking, always important. Had a look at the array of single appropriate women. And I found one and I went across to her, a good looking one, and I said, would you marry me? No. Oh, heck. Then I thought, wait a minute, I'm going about this all the wrong way. Christ-likeness is what I'm after. Who's the most Christ-like woman that I could find? I looked around, saw Rhema. Said to Rhema, will you marry me? She goes, oh, far out. You've asked me four times. Yeah, all right then, I will. Persistence is important. It's important in a lot of things. Someone did ask after the first service, was that true? Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Ask, seek, knock. You know, the word that keeps coming through that is persistence. Persistence in prayer. In the parallel passage to the Sermon on the Mount in Luke chapter 11, Jesus actually puts in a story right in the middle of this passage we're doing in Luke 11. And the story is about a man who's asleep up in his room. He's got his kids all in bed. The door's locked at midnight. And a neighbour comes and hammers on his door and says, "Look, I've got a friend that's come and we haven't got any bread to feed him. Can I have some bread?" And the guy is up in his bed and he's saying, "No way." He said, "I'm up here. All my kids are in bed. I've locked the door. Go away." And Jesus goes on and he says, the man will get up and give him the bread, not because it's his friend, but because of his boldness, because of his persistence. He will get up. In Luke 18, Jesus tells another story. And in verse 1, it starts off with this. Jesus told them a story, told the disciples a story, showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. You know, sometimes you can look at a parable or a story Jesus tells and wonder, what's the real meaning of that? You don't have to worry here. He tells you up front, I'm telling you this story so that you will pray always, pray consistently and not give up, not quit. He goes on, he says, there was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for people. A widow in that city kept after him. My rights are being violated. Please protect me. He never gave her the time of day, but after this went on and on and on, he said to himself, I care nothing what God thinks. I care less about what people think, but because this woman won't stop badgering me, I'd better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up being beaten black and blue by her pounding. Persistence. Jesus tells us here, it's important to be persistent in prayer, even when we don't see the results. Keep persisting, asking, knocking, seeking. Keep persisting in prayer. It's a thing that we often don't get a hold of because we have the impression that, well, I've prayed about that and God hasn't delivered, so I'll give up and go down another track. Keep persisting in prayer. Pray and not give up. You know, it's fatal for us to become content with the status quo of what's happening in our world. We can't just do nothing. We can't just stop praying. We can't just be happy with where we're up to in prayer. We've got to be continually looking at, how do I up the ante in my prayer life? Jesus is saying it here. Ask, seek, knock. Keep on doing it. Keep on being persistent in your prayer life. Keep on growing in that. You know, it's a fight of faith here. If we're wanting to be involved, and you might think, well, I'm not fussed. I am wanting to be involved. I'm just happy to be doing my own thing. But if you're wanting to be involved in the spiritual lives of other people and seeing them grow in their faith and seeing people come to faith in Christ and seeing our kingdom advance, it's going to happen because people keep knocking, seeking, and what's the other word? Asking. Keep persisting in prayer. That's what's going to happen. Timing is up to God. Our role is to keep asking, seeking and knocking. Keep persisting. People are in dire straits. There's people in your world who you know that are going through awful stuff. You've prayed a bit for them, but nothing's happening, so you've moved on. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. You know, maybe, and I've had people say to me, you know, I'm not very good at praying. It's not a cop-out. I can't pray more than 3 to 5 minutes for anything. I get distracted. Can I just encourage you, as part of your kingdom life plan, in terms of, as part of your discipleship training program, your personal plan, put some things in place that will help you to grow in how to pray then. It might be by asking someone who you know, who loves to pray, can you show me how to pray? Can we pray together so I get a sense of what you do? How do you do it? Maybe it's by joining a prayer group. a group of people that you know are praying, but you don't really actually know what they do there. Go along and be a part of it. Get a sense for what happens. My life was transformed in terms of prayer in my first pastor's prayer summit. 4 days with pastors praying for God's kingdom. Initially I'm thinking, gee, this better be good. I don't want to see anything going wild here. It transformed the way I understood prayer. So take some risks, but don't be content with the status quo in terms of your prayer life. Continually ask God, how do I move forward here? Ask other people how you can move forward. You know, late last year, we were planning on starting a bit of a building of a deck out the back of our place and a bit of a minor renovation, as I thought it was going to be, but it was meant to start late last year. It started March 10 this year. You know, the frustrations that come with doing things like that. But before we went on a long holiday last year, I took all the retic out, so I've had nothing but dead grass and dry sand in our backyard. And it's been driving me nuts. And on March 10, the work actually started, and we started to see some stuff happening. March 10 also, that afternoon, I was a part of a prayer group, which I have a group I pray for Kensington, which is our suburb. I've mentioned that a few times. And that was the day we were praying. We pray each week for our suburb. And as we were praying, I felt God say to me, just like with your house extension, there's a lot of time where all you see is dry grass and sand. But now you're starting to see some work that's becoming evident. And he said to me, the same thing is happening in Kensington. Don't assume that nothing's happening, but you will start to become aware there's something happening. And it really encouraged me. Really encouraged me. You see, as we pray, it keeps the soil moist. And so when God chooses to plant, the soil's moist and ready to receive the seed. We don't know when he's going to plant. We don't know when he's going to change things. But as we pray, it keeps the soil moist. Excuse me. Later that week, I was, just before Easter, we were handing out those little invites to Easter. We gave you a whole pile of cards and we encouraged people to hand them out, put them in letterboxes in their street and to pray for people in your streets. We call it prayer walking your street. And some of you might have been involved in that. And so as I was doing it, I was just in the street, which is around the corner from our place. And as I was walking along, putting these in, and just praying for people who, sometimes I knew who lived there. And I got to this one, and it had no junk mail. And I suggested to people, don't put them in where it says no junk mail. Honour the request there. And I thought, oh, it would have been good for them to hear about this. I turned around, and he just pulled up in his car. Just at that point. And I sort of knew him. I knew that who he was, what he did, and we'd chatted a few times. We both had dogs, so we'd sort of wave at the park or whatever. And his kids went to the school that my wife teaches at in Kensington. And as he got out, I was chatting, and I said, oh, I was just putting this. I said, I didn't put it in, but here's an invite to Easter, and we're chatting about things. And he had his arm full of stuff. And he said, oh, I've got these, the fathering project, all these brochures. He said, I've got a meeting down the school tonight. I'm really wanting to get the fathering project going in our suburb, in our school. Fathering project is what Bruce Robinson, who's preached here a couple of times, spoken at our men's night, strong Christian guy, he's started this thing. And his desire is to get it into all the schools. And so as I dialogue with him, I said, oh yeah, we've had that guy preach. And he said, yeah, at my daughter's high school, I heard him preach, not preach, I heard him speak there and thought, I've got to get this going in Kensington. And it's like God said to me, David, you don't have to get everything going. You know, I say this humbly, but God said to me, I'm God, not you, David, all right? And that's a prayer we have to say every morning. God, I thank you that you're God and I'm not. You're the one that's doing the work. We're just working with you. And it's like he encouraged me because here's this guy. He's not a Christian, but he's passionate about seeing fathers developed through the school. And I said, look, if there's anything we can do to help you, let us know. And we chatted for a bit longer. God is at work. God is at work doing stuff. We want to enter into what he's doing. Keep praying. Don't give up. Keeps the soil moist. was talking to John Bardsley. Some of you know John, one of the enthusiastic older men in our church. And he was telling about two of his friends in England. And one of them was praying passionately for his non-Christian neighbour to come to salvation. And he'd been praying and nothing was happening. And this guy said, I really heard God speak to me on this. And he said, God said to me, you don't believe that I will do this, do you? You don't believe that I can do this. You don't believe that your friend will come to Christ. And the guy said, you're right, I don't. I can't see it happening. And he said, it's almost like God said to him, well, pray something that you do think can happen. Drop it down a bit. It's a bit harsh telling you to dumb your prayers down a bit. But he was saying, start praying for things that you do believe I can do. And so he said, all right. So he put that into action. He said, God, I want you to at least open the door for us to have a conversation. They hadn't really spoken much. So a week or so later, they're out the front, both out at the same time, over the fence, they start chatting, had a good conversation. And he's thinking, oh, that's what I prayed. So then he prays, God, I pray that he will invite me into his home, and maybe we have a cup of tea or a drink or something, just to build the conversation. Once again, next couple of weeks, they're out there, and the guy said to him, you've never seen what we've done in our house, have you? He said, why don't you come in and have a look? We'll have a drink or something. In they go, have a conversation over a cup of tea or a drink or whatever. And he thought, okay, God is actually answering my dumbed down prayers. So then he thought, right, we've got to get to the heart of the matter. He said, God, I'm not very good, and you probably identify with this, I'm not very good at actually opening the conversation so we talk about Jesus. I'm not really sure how to do that. So, God, can you cause this guy to somehow open the conversation so that we have a discussion about faith, about Jesus? So the next few weeks, they're out there chatting away, and his neighbour says to him, he said, where do you go every Sunday morning? You know, he said, I notice you drive off every Sunday morning. Where do you go? Gave him the opportunity to talk about, I go to church. And then it opened up the door for him to talk about his faith and why he goes to church. And long story short, he comes to Christ at a certain point. Now you might think, ah, it never works like for me. But maybe, just maybe God's saying, give me another shot. Give it a shot. Pray, drop it down a bit and pray something that you believe God can actually do. Whether it's with someone in your family that you're struggling with. Whether it's with a neighbour who's not in Christ, whatever it might be, you can fill in the dots there. But drop it down a bit. See, we know Ephesians 3:20, or we know the verse that says God is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine. We know that. But maybe it's a bit tough if you just say, Lord, I want you to convert Perth. It's a bit too far out there. I want you to convert my suburb or my street. Too hard. But if you start to drop it down a bit and pray and then God starts to actually do some things, it will encourage you. It will encourage you. And as I give you some of these stories, somewhere along the line there's going to be a connection point for you. And there'll be one thing. Even if you get one thing today that God's going to say, this is what I want you to do. Some of you may have heard of Jackie Pullinger, who's a young woman who, well, not young now, but she was young. She went to Hong Kong as a missionary, not really knowing what she was doing, but she just felt God saying, I want you to minister here. And so she ended up down in the old walled city, which is where all the crime was, the triads, the gangsters, the prostitutes, the drugs. And here's this single young woman ministering down there. And she wasn't seeing a lot of fruit. And she says, in a book that she says, she felt God say to her, I want you to pray something like this before you leave the house. And so she decided for about 15 minutes a day, before she left the house, she would pray along these lines. Lord, lead me to a person today who wants to know you. Lead me to a person today that is interested in talking about you. That is open to spiritual things. Lead me to that person. And she says, as the year went by, she didn't really start to look at it initially, but she started to see when she looked back how it changed around about that point. And she started leading people to Christ. And she realized that God was answering that very specific prayer. See, God is doing a work in people. Even though they might not look like He's doing a work, He's doing a work in them. But not necessarily everyone at the same pace. So maybe that prayer can be something that you actually pick up on. Whatever it is that you pick up on, Jesus is saying to us here, very clearly, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. The doors will be opened. He's going to answer. Keep playing your part. Our part is not to worry about the timing and the harvest. Our part is to keep praying and keep being open to Him being to use us. In verse 9, Jesus goes on and He says, "Which of you, if your son asks for a bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more?" How much more? God is the much more. How much more would your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? You know, knowing God our Father is such a crucial aspect of being in Christ. God is good. God is defined by love. God is generous. God is for you. God is the God who gives good gifts. He gives fish and bread, not stones and snakes. God loves to give us good gifts. He loves to pour out gifts to us, particularly spiritual gifts, but particularly that are going to impact His kingdom. He loves to do that. If you're in Christ, if you're a child of His, then know that God is good. Know that He is your Father. And know that He loves to pour out good things on you. And you may say, "Well, I'm not experiencing them." Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Keep doing it. I'm just thankful that God doesn't give us what we deserve. Doesn't condemn us. He gives us grace. He gives us mercy. Gives us life. He gives us hope. I was just reading this morning in Psalm where it talks about meditate and reflect on His unfailing love. He pours His love out on us. You know, the thing about prayer is God loves to reveal Himself more to us. And prayer helps us to do that. Prayer helps us to experience God. Prayer helps us to see God, how He really is. Prayer helps us to trust God. God loves to reveal Himself to us and that He can be trusted. Once again, the timing and how it works doesn't always suit us. But He's constantly pouring out blessing on us. And He wants us to trust Him. I was chatting with Isabel Galt. Isabel's here this morning. And she was talking to me about how excited she was because she's praying for her kids. And she's using a book. Can't remember the name of the book. What was the name of the book? Anyway, it's a great book. Well, I'll bring more info to you in a couple of weeks' time on that. But it's a book that basically is using scripture to pray for your kids. And so there's different chapters. So if your child is dealing with anxiety, then there's a number of verses on anxiety and dealing with that. And then you insert your child's name. And then there's all these prayers you can pray. You're basically praying scripture. And Isabel said it's just a great resource in terms of how to pray for your kids. And then she said, Alicia, who is her 10-year-old daughter, and Alicia's given me permission to share this, by the way, came to her one day and said, "You know, there's three or four of my friends at school that are really making life hard for me at the moment. There's been a bit of a turn. They've turned on me, and it's got quite nasty. What do I do?" And Isabel, paraphrasing what she said, said, "I'm not really sure what to do," she said, "but I'll pray for you," and she keeps praying for her in all of this. Anyway, not long after, not sure if it was that night or the next night or whenever, but Alicia had a dream. And in the dream, God showed her the scene at school. She's in it with her four friends. And in the dream, God showed her what Alicia in the dream did. Went to the four friends and caused reconciliation to take place. So Alicia wakes up in the morning, tells Isabel, and then she goes to school and actually lives out the dream. She put into practice what she had seen God reveal to her in the dream. And so she goes to her friends, and I won't go through all the details, but she went to them, and out of that, reconciliation formed. Basically, she said, if we keep doing this, it's not going to be a good finish for any of us. It's not good to be nasty to one another. We want to be good friends. And so reconciliation happened out of that. And I thought, how good is that? A mother praying. The daughter comes with an issue, very real relational issue. Mother doesn't know what to do, but she prays. God reveals in a dream. We don't always get dreams from God, but in this case, revealed it to her in a dream, and the thing was, she actually did it. She didn't say, oh, that's interesting. She did it. And she found God worked in that situation. You know, sometimes we are involved as the answer to our prayer. Sometimes God uses us as part of the answer to our prayer. So it's one thing to pray for people over here to stop hurting me. God may be saying, well, I want you to move towards them. Or, you know, I want these people over here to come to Christ. Well, maybe he's saying move towards them and at least love them and open up the doors for opportunity. We are often a part of the answer to the prayer that we're praying, which scares some people sometimes. But that's part of the fun. Imagine what happened for Alicia in terms of her faith journey there. God's at work. She was part of the answer. I'd like to invite Andrew Frick. Andrew's one of our young guys. He's here. Oh, here he is. Give Andrew a hand as he comes up. Andrew's been a part of our church for about 3 years. Came from up north, and for the last 2 years he's been married to Emily. And I just wanted Andrew to share something of his story as to what happened for him in terms of his journey with God, but also in terms of this whole prayer thing. So go for it, mate.
Cheers, Dave. Yeah, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And I'll start off when I was about 18, 19 years old. I was a guy who wanted to be cool at any cost. I was a bit of a people pleaser. I pretty much live to have fun, go on road trips at any chance. And around that time, ecstasy came into my life. I wasn't a big user, but it encouraged me down the wrong path even more. Then this one trip we went to, down to Coral Bay, and I got greedy with ecstasy, and I took 3 ecstasy tablets, and one of these tablets were killing people, and I thought it'd be cool to have 3. So after this, I knew I was going to overdose. I had a video recorder with me on the road trip, and I pretty much recorded a message saying, see you later, Mum. See you, Dad. I've made a mistake, and this is it. And in that recording, I had nothing to hold on to. And so I thought, well, God, if you're real, don't let me die tonight. Save me. I didn't die. I got through the night. I ended up just partying on. And later on that night, I got myself into a situation that did a bit of damage to my body. And that led to me having a couple of hernias and osteitis pubis. And to get those fixed, I had to have an operation, and that led to me being stuck in bed, and I couldn't walk. I'd pretty much shuffle around. But that didn't stop me going out, living the lifestyle that I wanted to live, partying, getting drunk, and doing all that just made it worse. I was unable to recover. So, yeah, that went on for about, I was about 20, 23, and I fell in, during those years, I fell into a depression. I wasn't getting better. And in that time, a few mates, specifically a Christian mate, Craig McGlynn, he would come around, they'd come around and start just hanging out with me and watch movies, and they were honestly interested in me, and they were what friends were meant to be, I guess. They stuck around in the thick times. And during that time, I slowly started getting better with the help of my friends and my family there supporting me. And this one time, I was watching a movie, and it was a documentary claiming about an alien claiming to be God, and that led me to think it and investigate these claims that the movie made. So I decided to do a bit of research into this, and I realized the only way to find out about God was to go to church and experience it for myself. And since I'd never been, I thought I'd go check it out and get my own opinion. So one day, the situation came about where my mate was going to church, and I went along with him. I was blown away by how wrong I was about church, and I came to the realization that I believed a stereotype and the image that the world gave me of church. So as I explored it all for myself, I realized there was a lot more about Christianity and about God than what I had learned over the course of my life. I continued learning more about the Bible and about God, and I realized that I needed to repent of my lifestyle and follow Jesus. This one time, I remember getting on my knees next to my bed and trying to pray, but I didn't know how. I had no idea. I just wrote down a few dot points, thanking God and asking God to forgive me and asking Him to come into my heart. And that was pretty scary at the time, that there was no one there with me, but I still had the sense of, like, this is embarrassing. What am I doing? But I honestly didn't care about being embarrassed or what other people may have thought. I just wanted to pray, and I wasn't going to let any emotion or any kind of fear stop me from praying. So I accepted Jesus into my life as my Lord in October 2010. And after that, I remember being filled with a sense of joy and wanting to tell everyone how awesome this really is. I honestly hadn't felt anything like that before. Yeah, and not long after that, I remember praying, asking God, teach me how to pray. I don't know how to pray. And I was praying that for a couple of weeks, and I went to church, and a sermon came up that was all about prayer. And I was blown away that God was answering my prayer there and not just saving me when I was going to die that night, and then answering my prayer when I got down on my knees, and not just saving my soul from spending eternity in hell. After that, he continued to answer my prayers and not just save me and then that was it. We were separate. He was my Heavenly Father and still is. And through answering that prayer and teaching me how to pray, I guess looking back on it helps me realize that He's a God that does give good gifts, and that helped me realize that He was a God who answered prayers. Mm. Thanks, Charles.
God bless you. Good. I'll pray. Okay. How about we pray for Andrew? Father, we thank you that you are in the work of transformation. Thanks that you heard Andrew's cry that night. And Father, thanks for the work that you're doing in him now. Father, thanks for the young people that he's ministering to in the high school ministry here, and for his passion for seeing you at work in his workplace as well. And Father, I pray that you'd keep encouraging him. I pray that you would keep him moving in this journey of faith. I pray for him and Emily in their marriage, that they would more and more experience your grace and mercy there as well, and that their home would be a place where you are glorified and people who come in there experience your grace too. So give him everything he requires for this journey of life and godliness. I pray he'd keep trusting you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, man. It's good. It's I don't know where that connects with you, But there may be people here who are in that situation, not where you think I'm going to die, but it's feeling pretty tough. God answers prayer. There's been other people in Andrew's situation who have prayed that prayer, maybe, and died. We can't presume on God. But we can hear what Jesus is saying here. Ask, seek, knock. Keep on doing it. You've no idea what he might be doing and what he's going to do. And can I also say, there may be people who you're praying for in your world, or that are close to you, that might have been like Andrew back then as a young hoodlum. Don't give up praying, because who knows when God's going to bring them to a point of asking for salvation. Who knows? Our role is to pray consistently and not give up. Do we get tired doing it? Yep. So we've got to work out ways where we stay on top of it. We stay resourced. Stay encouraged. Sometimes it can be because you're praying with other people, you're being encouraged by other people. So however God spoke to you out of that, and even out of some of the stories we've heard this morning, put something into practice. You know, at the end of this, Jesus comes up with verse 12, and it's like this golden rule, he just throws it in there. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And it's like, why does Jesus suddenly just throw that in there? He's been talking about prayer, and then he comes to this. But really what he's been talking about is God. He's been talking about how God is a good God and gives good gifts, offers life to people. And he's basically summing it up by saying, you know that, do the same. Do the same to other people. So as you think on your life, make a list either in your head or on paper of what do you love people doing to you. It might be some encouragement. It might be affirming you in some areas of ministry or life. It might be something that builds you up. Make a list of those, and then Jesus is saying, initiate and do that to other people. Take the initiative and move towards other people in the same way that blesses you. And then on the other side, take note of the things that really you don't like, that really knock you around. The critical attitude, the person walking past you like this, not looking at you. Take a note of those things. The things that knock you down, discourage you. And don't do those to other people. Even if there's one thing that comes to mind where you shift on, that's a plus. That's a plus. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And what Jesus is saying here was that sums up the whole law and the prophets. Live it out. You know, I don't know about you, but I struggle to do that. I do it when I'm resourced and going well, so the pressure is on me is to stay resourced. That gives me a greater option of doing it then. How do you stay resourced? You spend a fair bit of time with Jesus. For me, I've got to keep dwelling in the Word. I have to keep rejoicing and giving thanks and praising God. I have to do that, otherwise I'll get hard and crusty and I'm not going to move towards people well. Now Hebrews, it says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. I have to keep looking to Jesus and saying, okay, he's the one that's at work here. I might feel like a dead dog, but he's doing stuff in and through me. Got to keep fixing our eyes on Jesus. Got to keep immersing ourselves in him. Otherwise, this just becomes a good idea. Ask, seek, knock. Keep on doing it. Keep on remembering that this God who we worship is good. He's for you. Wants to give you good gifts. And keep living that out. You know, communion is a great opportunity to actually fix our eyes on Jesus. You know, Romans 5:8, Paul says, God demonstrated his love for us in that even though we're enemies of his, we're still sinners. Christ died for us. It's a great picture of the demonstration of God's love for us. So we're going to share in communion in a few moments. Just love you to enjoy this time of reflecting again on what God is saying to you, but reflecting again on the reality of who God is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that he gave his life that we might live. Thank you that we get to be your children because of our relationship with Jesus. Thank you for the stories that we know in our own life and in other people's lives that we've heard today and that we've heard previously that reflect something of what you're doing in our lives, what you're doing in people's lives. Thank you that you're doing that. Thank you that you're always at work. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to really remind us as we share in communion, the sacrament that gives us an opportunity as we share in the bread and the cup, representing your body that was given for us and your blood that was poured out for us. Father, may the impact again refresh us and empower us for the ongoing work of ministry. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you share in communion. Thank you.